So who in here have watched a chick flick or romantic movie already? Raise your hand up. Gentlemen, I know you've done it too because you watch it with your wife, right? So in a very typical chick flick or romantic movie, boy fall in love with girl, or girl fall in love with boy, but then something happened along the way that caused some kind of rupture or caused some kind of trial or trouble within the relationship, and they kind of part their way. And once they part their way, something happened that recalled back the memory or the time spent together that perhaps brought a conversion apart and bring them back together. And they live
happily ever after.
Happily ever after, like a fairy tale. And indeed, chick flicks are mostly fairy tale because it makes us feel good. But more than that, we have a story of romance that is both historical and that is also real. The story of Jesus Christ, the one who loves us beyond all measure, beyond everything that we deserve, the one who has chosen to die for us in order to save us, in order to redeem us, in order to give us life. This is not some chick flick or some fable or some mythology. It is a historical event that had happened. He had chosen to die for us. The one who is sinless had chosen to die for the sinners. The one who has known no sins had chosen to die for us who will to crucify him. So the second question in every romantic movie, what need to happen in order to bring us toward that conversion of heart, in order to recognize the love that had been given to us? And that what is crucial, conversion of heart. My brothers and sisters, we have gone away from God, or have depraved our life from God, or have turned away from God on the account of our sins. But even when we have turned away from Him, rejected Him, He has chosen to die for us. And that is the greatest romance ever, that God has chosen to die for us, for you and for me, for us sinners. And that is why it reminds us that we need to contemplate on this mystery of the cross, so that it brings us toward conversion, a change of heart, so we can return back to Christ. And once we have returned back to Christ, we are called to live in and make our lives into the same sacrificial act that Christ had given to us by laying down our lives, dying to our own ego, our own plan, our own desire to be in control, so that we are living for Christ and Christ alone. And that is why on Good Friday, the vestment of the priest is red, crimson red per se, because red signifies courage, and it also signifies martyrdom. The death of ourselves, laying down ourselves, dying to ourselves, so that we can seek Christ. And in order to do that, we need courage. Courage to let go, courage to trust, courage to love, and courage to remain faithful to Christ, even at times we don't feel like it. And that is why, in the beginning of the Good Friday liturgical service, the priest prostrates himself on the floor, especially in a cruciform, in the same form that Christ had died for his people. And that was to remind me that I, as a priest in persona Christi Capitis, in the person of Christ the head, I need to learn how to fix my eyes on Christ and died for those who have been entrusted to me. And when the priest laid down and prostrated himself on the floor, you also knelt to pray for him, but also, important of all, to pray for yourselves, that you and I, the head and the body of Christ, we learn how to look to our Savior by dying to ourselves in order to live for him. We have to live for a king. Else, we will find other lesser things to be our own kings, our own gods. And we have seen in our own lives where we have put other things more than God himself. Those are called temptations. And those distractions often turn us away from God. So we need to lay them down at the foot of the cross in order for us to live for the one true King. The King who loves us. The King who died for us. In the office of reading today, in the second reading of the office of reading, there was a quote from St. John Chrysostom, and he said, "Just like God the Father had put Adam into a deep sleep, and then from that, take one of his ribs in order to form Eve out of that love." So God the Father willed to hand over his Son, Christ our Savior, and allowed him to suffer death, to go into death, in order that his heart and his side be pierced. And when the side of his heart is pierced, blood and water draw out in order to give life to the bride, which is the church. And we are the church. From that side, Christ shed his own bodily torture, endured everything so that his water and his blood purified us and sanctified us. That water signifies the sacrament of baptism, when we were wiped away and washed away of our sins in order to become children of God, our Heavenly Father. And that blood signifies the continual nourishment of Christ at each Mass when he gives his own body and blood for us. Christ is the new Adam who had chosen to die in order to give life to his bridesmaid, the church, which is us. He had chosen to do that because he loves us, because he is the King of love. And he continued to nourish us each and every day with his own body and in his own blood when we receive the Eucharist. So my brothers and sisters, whenever we have temptations, whenever things go wrong, whenever someone asks us, "Who do you serve?" May we say, "I served the one true King, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior." "You say that I am King," says the Lord. "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Listen to his voice. Follow the truth. Be nourished by his body and his blood. Remain with him. Abide with him. Love him. Persevere and be faithful to him. Even if it means that he lead us to the cross. Even if it means that we need to die to ourselves. Even if it means that we don't understand what is going on. Even if it means that we have to relinquish our control. As long as Christ is praised, as long as Christ is adored, as long as Christ is loved, we have done our duties. And that duties begin with us Just like in any chick flick or romantic movie, the recognition of how much he loves us, to return back to him, to not live in the fairy tale, but in the very real way, by the laying down of our lives for him, so that he can live in us and we in him. So the next time when someone asks you and I, when were you saved? Or are you saved? May we answer with confidence, I am saved because Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I am saved when I receive his body and his blood in the Eucharist. I am saved because I serve the one true King, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. So my brothers and sisters, what makes Good Friday good is because Christ has died for us, because he loves us, because he is faithful to us. So may we love him, be faithful to him, and seek him always. Let Jesus Christ be praised now and forever. Viva Cristo Rey.